This podcast is brought to you by St. Joseph's Episcopal Church in Boynton Beach, Florida, in the United States of America. You can find us at stjoesweb.org. Come visit us when you are in town.
Rev, before you start, we don't have unclean spirits anymore.
Really?
You know, birthday boy here just read us that gospel. Unclean spirits, come on. We don't have them any. I mean, have any of you know anybody? Well, don't say that if your parents are teenagers, but we don't know anybody that's got unclean spirits. I mean, I don't know any health plan that covers that. I hope you're not going to talk about stuff 2,000 years ago. We need to talk about stuff now.
Okay, so what's happening now?
What's happening now? Pressure. Pressure to do the right thing. Pressure to be the perfect mom, the perfect dad, the perfect teenager. Pressure to be good in school, to be popular in school. Pressure to get papers done.
Yeah.
Pressures, you name it, we got pressures to succeed, to get more stuff, to make more money, to wear the right clothes.
I got it.
To say the right things.
I got it. And what do those pressures do to us?
Well, they do. They drive us nuts.
Yeah, kind of like unclean spirits, maybe?
What?
Like demons, maybe?
Huh? You tell us.
We don't know what was going on with the guy in the synagogue from which Jesus cast out the unclean spirits. We don't know. We don't know. He might not have been allowed in the temple because of some ritual law. He may have had a mental illness, and they did not know about that particular disease. We don't know. None of us know. What we do know, is that, yes, indeed, thank you very much, those pressures, those demons, those voices do continue today to haunt us. Voices from popular culture that say we're not good enough, we're not rich enough, we're not pretty enough, we're not thin enough without their particular product. Voices within ourselves that say it's okay to be cynical or pessimistic because we've been hurt. And boy, don't we all know that one. We can put up those walls, and we give ourselves permission to listen to those voices too. Or those voices that say it's okay for us to be mean to someone, to talk about somebody behind their back, to ridicule someone, to give in to peer pressure that we learn about all through our childhood and adolescence. And I guarantee you, as you know, as well as I do, that peer pressure affects us from the cradle to the grave. And we give it authority, and we listen to that voice sometimes, and it affects how we are in this world. All of these voices, all of them, are what we heard about in Deuteronomy. We were warned against other gods, listening to other gods. And then again in Corinthians, Paul warns us about idols. Idols. Any idol, any other god, anything that we give more authority in our lives than God is what we are being warned against today. And we hear also to know to listen for the voice of God. And the voice of God is alive and well. And we hear about it throughout our lectionary, throughout the year. It's the same story every week, just told in a different way. To listen to that peace of God and Jesus Christ. 3 weeks before Christmas, we hear the voice of one crying in the wilderness, John the Baptist, crying, telling about Jesus. 2 weeks later, different gospel, same guy. The voice of one crying in the wilderness. And then the next week we heard about the voice from the angel messenger Gabriel to Mary. And then to Joseph. And then to the wise men, warning them not to go away. All voices that needed to be heeded. They were heard and heeded. And then finally, in the fullness of time, the voice of Jesus Christ saying, repent, turn back to the light, turn back to God, and follow me. He told his disciples, and he tells us clearly in every moment when we're trying to discern which voices to follow in our lives. And we will know that we are following by the fruits of the Spirit. So when we've discerned and we follow and make certain decisions, we'll know that it's of God by the fruits of the Spirit that we read about in Galatians. Because there will be love and peace and joy and gentleness and faithfulness, generosity, self-control. And then healing happens. Healing happens. When Jesus was in the synagogue teaching, and he came upon this gentleman, that man saw that Jesus was the Holy One of God before anyone else recognized him. Because the light of Christ shone in the darkness. And that light, that love of God, brings up everything unlike itself for healing. Let me say that again. Love of God in Jesus Christ brings up everything unlike itself for healing. Shines that bright light. I have to tell you about an amazing metaphor that was right like this in my face this week. I have permission to tell this story. As many of you know, my mom is dealing with a very rare form of cancer that affects the skin. And part of the treatment for this is a treatment that is light therapy, photopheresis. You probably see where I'm going with this, light therapy. So when she's up to it, once a month, we take her down to the University of Miami Hospital, and this past week was one of those times. And I went with her, and we spend the night, and I sleep on a cot next to her bed, and we had settled in for the night Tuesday night, and I got my book light out and was reading, reviewing some notes in preparation for my sermon. And it dawned on me, the therapy was light. They remove part of her blood, they separate out the white cells, because it's the T cells that are affected by this, which are part of the white cells. They separate out the white cells in a bag, and they give the white cells a marker, a DNA marker, and then they circulate it through this amazing machine that is UVA light, and it's the light that alters the T cells, and they give it back to her, it goes back into her body, and it promotes anti-tumor effects, and she gets relief. Anti-tumor effects because of the light. And that light of Christ that is within all of us also brings healing of body, mind, and spirit. And it's activated by the light of Christ from that which is already within us when we recognize that light so deep. The authority that we give to Christ's voice helps to shape our lives, just like any authority in our life. Parental authority, teacher authority, any kind of authority helps to author our life. Author is in that word. It's part of the same root as authority. It authors our life, helps create who we are, helps form our character. So what we give authority helps mold us and shape us and create this world. Create this world. There are a great deal of voices out there competing for our attention, for authority within us, in our lives. And a wonderful teacher a long time ago taught us that we have to learn to read against the grain. To read against the grain in this life. Everything that comes at us, that bombards us, from 24/7 news talk to constant television, some households leave the TV on all the time, maybe for companionship, maybe for comfort. However, that constant sound going into our psyche, if you don't mind me saying, affects us. It affects us. Or 24/7 texting. There's a lot of kids, I guarantee you, that can, and you'll mark me right, kids, that can text under the table and nobody knows they're doing it, right? Am I right? You wouldn't know, right? And so this constant, and I'm not saying texting is bad. It's one way I can get a hold of my son. It's all okay. It's just that we have to discern what is not okay in the light of Jesus Christ. In the light of Christ. And we need only go back to the gospel to find how we hear it. Before Jesus healed that man, he said, "Be silent. Come out of him. Be silent." We have to take the time, like you're doing right now, to come. Take a time apart. Take a walk in nature. Have fun in a really healthy way. Play board games with kids. We have to take a time apart to be able to listen and to be able to pray. And that love and light of Jesus Christ heals us in a way with an authority and with power like no other authority or power in this world, and it is different. Robert Browning put it something like this. He said, if the most important person in the world, or one of the most important people in the world, walked in this church right now, let's say the President of the United States walked in, or the Queen of England walked in the room, or the Archbishop of Canterbury walked in, and we all noticed them, we would stand up, right? We would stand up to honor them. If Jesus Christ walked in this room, we would kneel. And that's the difference. Amen.